The church at Philippi was a favorite of Paul's. At the beginning of his letter, he wrote, "I thank God every time I think of you." He wrote, "I hold you in my heart with tender affection." As he wrote, Paul rejoiced in their partnership. He was writing from prison, and he told them how much he appreciated their prayer and support. The church at Philippi was healthy, it was prosperous, and it was growing, even with persecution going on. But after this, the tone changed. My paraphrase of the next section is, "All that said, we have a problem." We might call this next part passive-aggressive in modern psychological terms. Paul was basically saying, if Jesus means anything to you, if you really love Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is truly living in your hearts, if you're really compassionate, if you're really loving people, if you're really a growing church, then why do you have conflicts with one another? Paul is asking the church, what's up with this lack of unity I'm hearing about? What's up with your lack of humility? 5 times in this short letter, Paul tells the church, be of one mind. Paul doesn't mean that believers are supposed to believe exactly the same thing. Paul isn't telling the church that you all need to think the same way. You don't have to have the same opinions. You certainly don't have to have the same likes and dislikes. But you do need to have unity. You do need to get along. You do need to stop the bickering. Paul is expecting believers to get along in loving ways. Live in unity. Be of one mind. To make his point, then, Paul quotes what we believe is to be one of the earliest Christian hymns. And to introduce that hymn, Paul says, Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. What he meant is this. You sing this hymn all the time. Listen to the words of this hymn and put them into practice. The hymn says at the beginning that Jesus emptied himself. Jesus gave up a lot to be with us on this planet of sickness and sin. He became human. He became a slave to the human body. He gave up all the glory to have our human experience. Jesus experienced what it meant to be tempted. He experienced the difficulties of discovering what God's will for his life was. Jesus experienced sickness and suffering. He experienced death, even death on a cross, a humiliating, painful death. Jesus emptied himself. He humbled himself. And Paul was telling the church, read the words of the hymn. This applies to you. Have this mind among yourselves. This is how you're to treat one another as God's children. To have the mind of Christ. Many years ago, I developed an attitude that I would be kind and caring and understanding to customer service representatives when I talk on the phone. I have, in fact, been told several times that my attitude was appreciated. But the other day, in a combination of not enough sleep and dealing with several personal anxieties, I took my frustrations out on a customer service representative. In fact, at one point, the customer service representative calmly invited me not to get upset. The truth is, I wasn't kind or caring or understanding. And I regret that. Paul's advice to me in this situation would be, listen to the hymn. Have the mind of Christ. Paul put it another way in a few places. He tells us to put on Christ as a garment. The clothes that we wear wherever we go are clothes of kindness and humility and compassion and understanding. Wherever we go, we are to be dressed with the love of Christ. We had our last soup supper and worship this past Wednesday. I've thoroughly appreciated and enjoyed these Wednesday evenings of Lent. The soup was always delicious. The desserts were wonderful. And the increase in attendance this year energized me. Last Wednesday, I wore my St. John's Lutheran Church sweatshirts with the Luther seal on it. When I got home, I looked down at my shirt and saw that I had dribbled soup in three places. I'd messed up my clothing pretty well. When Paul gives us the advice to put on Christ as a garment, he's well aware that we're going to get our Christ clothing dirty once in a while. In our calling to put on Christ, we're going to mess up. We're going to dirty ourselves with sin and wrongdoing. But our faith tells us that we have a Savior who will clean us up. Our faith tells us that we have a Savior who will forgive us for our sins and our wrongdoings. We have a Savior who will not just launder our clothing, we have a Savior who will give us new clothing. We have a Savior who will give us the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us as we travel on this planet of sickness and sin. Now, according to the ways of the world, self-emptying doesn't get us very far. The Greek word here, one of my favorites, you hear that a lot, I guess, is kenosis. When we live a life of kenosis, of true humility, of sacrificial love, the world isn't always kind to us. The world will even bully us. The world tempts us away from kenosis living, from self-emptying, from sacrificial love. The world tempts us to get all we can get, not to submit, not to be obedient to God. Giving things up, according to the world, usually gets us nowhere. But the ancient hymn teaches us the divine way, the mind of Christ way. After the self-emptying, after the kenosis, the divine consequences, the hymn says, are that we are lifted up. After Jesus emptied himself, becoming a slave to the human body and dying on the cross, the hymn says, God highly exalted him. God lifted him up and gave him the name above every name. Jesus Christ is Lord. And this hymn applies to us. When we empty ourselves in service, in kindness, in compassion. When we have true humility, God lifts us up. God gives us life. To have the mind of Christ changes the world for the better. Let me repeat that. To have the mind of Christ changes the world for the better. And what began on the cross continues here in the church with the disciples of Jesus. So we need to have the mind of Christ. And this applies to our every problem, every struggle, every conflict, every temptation, every sickness. In all these things, whatever we're going through, we need to have the mind of Christ. And God promises, God will lift us up. Let us pray. Bring to prayer now a problem you have, a struggle. Bring to prayer a decision you're in the midst of making now. And ask God for help in this. Bring to God in prayer now any cross you bear. And ask God for help. And as you pray, listen for the voice of God. God who says to us, in the name of my Son, I will lift you up. In the name of my Son, I will lift you up. In the name of my Son, God says, I will lift you up.